I'm Brad Locke.
I'm Dylan Barnes.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and thejournal.com. It almost feels normal again, Dylan.
Week one in the books.
We got actual games played last week, football games. Feels so nice. Just can't explain to you. That was the longest summer in history.
Well,
I mean, it started in March.
2020 is 10 years in and of itself.
Yes, so. This has been the longest decade. Am I right? Oh, boy. Oh, so glad things are back to semi-normal. Hey, this is Brad with Dylan. It's Prep Rally. We're back again. Told y'all we were going to try to do this every week. And as long as they keep playing games, we shall. So thanks for tuning in on this Wednesday, September 9th, as we record this. And just a reminder, you can access this podcast in a variety of ways. There's iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. And also be sure to follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. Let's jump into it, Dylan. The football rewind. Looking back at some of last week's big games. Tupelo opening at Neshoba Central. I went all the way down to Neshoba Central, to Philadelphia, to cover that game. It's a pretty good hike.
Yeah. I went down there a few years ago for a playoff game for Philadelphia High School. It's on down there.
I thought about staying the night down there because it was such a long drive. And I was driving through Noxipater and found this place called the Good Inn Motel. It didn't look... Well, yeah, it did look super sketchy, but, you know, probably pretty cheap.
Yeah, a little cheap night stay on a Friday night, you know.
But anyway, Tupelo goes down there and drops its opener 25-17. Did not look particularly sharp on offense, especially, well, really, the passing game and the running game. Running game never really got off the ground, pun intended. In fact, there was a safety early in the game where one of the running backs got tackled in the end zone. And the passing game was just off kilter all night. Jake Ware finished 11 of 31, 159 yards, two TDs, and he threw two picks, both in the fourth quarter. But in his defense, his receivers did not help him out. I had Tupelo with like five or six drops, but Ty Harden, the coach, told me after the game, a couple of days after the game, he counted 11 drops. So I don't know. Maybe I was being too kind. But, yeah, they just – I mean, they got some athletes that can do something with the ball once they get it. They just couldn't, you know, haul in the passes a lot of the time. So, and they dug themselves a hole. Tupelo was down 25-3 at halftime against a team that's very good at running the ball.
Yes.
With that running back they got, Jarquez Hunter. Mm-hmm. He had a great game. That kid's legit. Yeah. He's tough to bring down. He also has a very quick step. He can make a guy miss just like that. So he's got
he's a D1 prospect for a reason.
Yeah, he sure looks like it to me. But to credit to Tupelo, they fought back in the second half. In fact, the first play of the second half, Ware hit Corbin Huggins for a 64-yard touchdown, stood in there and took a hit right after he delivered it and right over the middle. Huggins caught it in stride and outran everybody. That made it 25-10. And then later in the third quarter, had another touchdown pass. It was kind of a crazy play. Ware, I couldn't tell who he was trying to throw to, but it went off the initial receiver's hands, then off the hands of a defensive back for Neshoba, and then suddenly streaking into the picture was K.D. Gibson to snag it and score on a 28-yard touchdown, make it 25-17. And then Tupelo just could not get it going in the fourth quarter. Ware was intercepted at the one-yard line on the next possession, intercepted again when the ball bounced off a defender's helmet into the hands of another defender. And then that's all they could do. So coming up short, but, you know, they did play better the second half. I think that defense is going to be pretty salty this year.
Yeah.
I mean, Hunter, as good a game as he had, I'm trying to remember now, I think I had him with 170-something yards, was it?
Yeah.
Anyway.
But and he's the bulk of Neshoba Central's
offense.
He is.
Oh, yeah,
he
is.
So if you can keep him at 160, 170 yards, you know, you're giving yourself a chance to win there, you know, like without them
definitely
throwing for another extra 200 or 300 yards. So
right,
you're giving yourself a chance to win. It's just the offense kind
of – and he'll be one of the best running backs they face this year. Yeah. So, and I feel like they made some adjustments and did a pretty good job in the second half. He did get going again in the fourth quarter. He had one drive where they ate up a bunch of clock. He had like 50-something yards on that drive rushing. But, mm-hmm, yeah, tough loss for Tupelo, but they got a big one coming up this week that we'll talk about in a moment. Next game to recap, Boonville and Ripley at Boonville. That was your game there, Dylan. Yeah. And, you know, Boonville won 22-12, but I think Perry Lyles might have those Tigers coming after people soon.
Yeah, I told you this, I think, yesterday or maybe Monday or something when I came in the office. I was thoroughly impressed. If you don't know, if you're listening, I've covered Ripley for the last 3.5-4 years or so. So I know the talent that's on the team. I know all the players that they've got and stuff. And I know that they're relying pretty heavily on a lot of freshmen this year. And, Boonville jumped out to a 15-0 lead. Ripley got the ball to start the game, went 3-and-out. Boonville took their first possession all the way down the field and scored on a little 2-yard pass to J.D. Nanny. And then another 3-and-out, Boonville's first play, John Daniel Deaton hits Jackson McCoy for a 56-yard touchdown. They went up 15-0 there, and it was just kind of bang-bang. It kind of felt like Boonville's fishing just run away with this. You know, they have 17 right. seniors, 9 starters returning on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
Kind of felt like that's where that direction of that game was going. But, in the third quarter, they went and Ripley kind of settled down in the second quarter. And in the third quarter, they came out and Boonville started driving the field on them again, got all the way down in deep into Tiger territory. And Shondell Carter, linebacker from Ripley, he's a senior. He's their best defensive player, and he came up with a big pick. It was Deaton's first incompletion of the game, mm-hmm. was that interception, and he returned it back to like the 40-yard line, I believe, and kind of swung a little momentum, only down 2 possessions or whatever, and Ripley running that veer option.
Yeah.
Hadn't completed a pass. Only attempted 1 in the whole first half, and that was on a running back toss pass. So their quarterback didn't even attempt to pass in the first half. And anyways, they were able to find some success there, scored. Emmanuel Griffin scored on a touchdown run, a small touchdown run there, made it like 15-6. And then on the ensuing kickoff, Ripley sky kicks it. A Boonville kid has never played return team, according to Coach Maddox there. And the ball lands right in front of him, and he just looks at it. He didn't know.
It's a live ball.
Yeah, he didn't know it was a live ball. So Ripley, Chaston Crudup comes running down the streaking down the field, falls on the ball, and they get the ball like the 20 or 30-yard line after just scoring.
Right.
And then Emmanuel Griffin ran in another one, another touchdown, and they were out there 15-12. And you're sitting there looking, Boonville's our number 2, 3 small school. I even forgot.
2, I believe.
Yeah, they're our number 2 ranked small school, and they deserve it. They're a very good football team, and here Ripley is like right there in the thick of things. And so in the fourth quarter, Boonville kind of rode Caleb Guy and run that Russian offense, and those 5 offensive linemen, they're all seniors, and they kind of rode them and sealed the game with a touchdown late in the fourth. So I'm impressed with Boonville because I think they didn't play their best game, and they were still able to hold off Ripley or whatever. But also, I think Perry Lyles is doing some good things there at Ripley, too. So.
Yeah, no doubt. And then another big game last week, Starkville and West Point at Starkville. Of course, the 4-time defending 5A champs, West Point, against its longtime rival, Starkville, a 6A power. And Starkville pulled it out. I mean, it was close, like right down to the end. And the final was 40-28, but Starkville had a fumble return for touchdown with under a minute to go to complete the scoring. So, big win there for Starkville. West Point, I mean, they've got some new guys that are breaking in on offense. And those guys, played well. Jacoby Pate, for one, played well. I think I may have – I can't remember if I talked about him last week or not. But he's supposed to be pretty good for West Point this year. And then, he had 137 yards and 2 touchdowns. And then Cameron Young for West Point had 167 and a touchdown. But really the star of the game was Luke Altmeyer, the Florida State commit, the quarterback for Starkville, one of our football magazine cover boys. Mm-hmm. He didn't just do it with his arm. I mean, he threw for 315 yards and 2 touchdowns. He had a 74-yard touchdown run.
On the first play.
On their first play.
Yeah.
I didn't know the kid had legs like that. Yeah. Well, against West Point?
Yeah, you're running. If you're running away from West Point kids, you're,
not many people run away from West Point.
You can scoot a little bit.
Yeah. So anyway, that's a – it's a nice start to the season for the Starkville Yellow Jackets. Let's look ahead to some of this week's big games now. We've got, let's stick with West Point, visiting Tupelo. Oh, it's going to be a good one.
It is going to be good. I'm a little jealous of you getting to see that.
Yeah, I'll be at that one. West Point going to bring that. No matter who they lose, they come back the next year with at least 2 guys that can run the ball. And we just talked about those guys, Young and Pate. So Tupelo will have its work cut out for it on defense. They'll have to face 2 really good running backs instead of just the 1. But I think Tupelo will be better this week. They'll work some stuff out. You know, they went into that game last week. A lot of guys were not getting reps because they had to quarantine because mm-hmm. not because anybody tested positive, but the whole contact tracing.
Yes.
They were close to people who had tested positive, so a lot of these players did not get to practice leading up to the game, and that's huge.
Yeah.
And so some of these guys were limited, and when they did play, you know, probably were not 100% game ready. So if they can get a good full week of practice in this week, I think they'll be much more ready to take on West Point. And Jake Ware, I think again, his numbers hurt by the drops, but he had some good throws, yeah. And he's a good quarterback. I think he'll bounce back this week. I really am interested to see what they can do with their run game. They really could not get that going. Yeah. I like the Kendrick King kid came in the second half and played pretty well, had some good carries. Kind of a smaller, faster kid than Jarius McGinnister.
I think it's a pretty important game for both teams. I know it's not division or anything.
Yeah.
Neither team wants to start 0-2.
No, and West Point hasn't lost two in a row since I don't know when.
Yeah. And Tupelo and you're starting off the Ty Harden era. They've played two really good. West Point will be their second really good team in a row to play, but you don't want to start off your era 0-2. I mean, you want to build some confidence because division plays coming
right around
up,
the corner.
You know,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. Another big game this week, Boonville at New Albany. We just talked about Boonville. New Albany is 0-1 after losing to Pontotoc in overtime.
We were wrong.
Yeah, on the football show that we do, we missed that one. But Pontotoc had to come back and win that one, but they did. Jamarcus Whitfield had a big game running the ball. Now, we knew he was going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I didn't know what else they had offensively, but they got it done. But the guy that made the kick, Ashton Moffitt, I guess that's how you say it, first year to play football, first game. It was probably his first field goal attempt.
Yeah, he was 5 for 5 on PATs. And
yeah, they pulled him off the soccer team.
Yeah.
And he steps in and just, you know, cold-blooded killer, hits the field goal to win the game. So this game, Boonville and New Albany, I think they're pretty well matched.
Yeah,
of course,
they are.
New Albany has the C.J. Hill at running back. They also got A.I. Nugent. I don't think he did much last week. Mm-hmm. Of course, they want him more for defense.
Right.
So he's not going to play as much on offense. So should be a pretty good test for Boonville's defense. So Joe Mathis, the new quarterback in New Albany, you saw him when he's a Ripley transfer.
Yeah.
So
he threw two touchdowns last week in the first half and you know, got him up 27-7 at half. I mean, he's a good athlete. And like you said, with Hill and then Nugent, whenever they can spell Hill with Nugent, you know, New Albany's offense and their offense was fine against Pontotoc last week.
Yeah.
It's defensively is where you got to clean some stuff up, you know, and try not to give up 38 points, especially most of that in the second half and stuff. So, they're going to get tested with Deaton, though. That arm is legit.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And I remember the defensive coordinator at New Albany is now Trent Hammond,
right?
Former Tupelo coach. So I think he'll whip them into shape pretty quick. And then we've got the Crosstown Classic, Lafayette at Oxford. They'll drive the, 1.2 miles down University to play the Chargers, big rival game. I think Oxford's won like 7 of the last 8 or 8 of the last 9, something like that. So they've kind of dominated the series. Yeah, 7 of the last 8. And they won last year 46-7. I think Lafayette will give them a better game this year. They got some really good guys on defense. Derek Burgess up front, Mario Wilborn at linebacker, Brendan Tolles, the MECU commit in the secondary. Mm-hmm. And Oxford has a new quarterback, Michael Harvey. Of course, John Marr graduated, went off to Navy. And Oxford has a lot of pieces to replace. Now, they were solid last week when they beat Grenada, but I think Lafayette's going to be a tougher test for them.
Well, Lafayette had a good week last week, too. They beat Hornley like 21-6, I believe.
Yeah.
And Tyrus Williams back at quarterback there, and he had like two or three long touchdown runs there in the first half for Lafayette.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. It's an interesting matchup for sure.
Yeah, the real matchup I really want to see is how, you know, Tyrus Williams handles Oxford's linebackers. They've got some good linebackers. Keegan Wilfawn, younger brother of Quentin Wilfawn, who played there a couple years ago, is really good.
They make a lot of tackles.
And then you got this sophomore linebacker, Alex Sanford.
Yeah.
He had last week he had 11 tackles, 2 tackles for loss. Coach Chris Cutcliffe was telling me before the season, this kid has a lot of potential.
Yeah.
Like, really, like, maybe SEC potential.
And yeah, he's not the type of coach to just fluff up kids.
No, like he's not.
If he's speaking highly of a kid, it's because he
knows.
Really means it.
Yeah, definitely. So, those are some of the games coming up this Friday in the Daily Journal coverage area. Real quick, let's talk some volleyball. You got out to Amory last night, Tuesday night, Dylan, and saw them take on Belmont, which is a team that went pretty deep in the playoffs last year. Yeah, semifinals. Mm-hmm. But Amory got a nice win.
Yeah, I ain't going to lie to you. I covered Belmont in their season opener against Walnut for here. And, you know, I was obviously Belmont swept Walnut and was impressive that night. You know, I kind of went into the match last night expecting Belmont to, you know, Amory might take a set here or there, might go five maybe, but I was kind of just expecting a Belmont win. And I really didn't realize how good Amory volleyball has gotten over the past couple of years.
Yeah.
They were – you know, the first set was really close, and Belmont actually started pulling away midway through the set and got up 23-18.
Mm-hmm.
So they're 2 points away from taking the first game, and Amory came back and scored 7 straight points and won the first set 25-23, and just the momentum was, like, all on their side.
Yeah, and even though they won 3-0, all the sets were close.
Yeah, they were all close. They were all competitive. And you know, that's what Coach Reagan, I believe is how you say her last name, from Amory, that's what she was talking about last night. You know, all three sets were close, but her girls were still able to live in the moment, execute. And, you know, I think it's sophomore setter, Cammie Wilf, had 6 service aces. Most of those were coming at the end of each game,
mm-hmm,
or whatever, where she was getting back there and you know, having success behind the service line. And then she had, like, I don't even know how many assists, but they had a ton of kills. They had 28 kills as a team, Amory did. And it was all from, like, 4, 5, 6 different girls. And, like,
yeah,
nobody just had, like, just a major game. It's just,
yeah,
they can attack from all different angles and stuff. And so it forced Belmont's defense to kind of work across all areas of the net. And it was successful last night. But Coach Reagan said, she's like, we're in Region 4 of 3A and –
yeah,
Belmont's over in Region 1. There's a chance that those two teams see each other in the playoffs somewhere down the line, and she's like, you know, we got to be ready for that too, because
yeah,
Belmont probably didn't put their best foot forward last night, but if it comes to the playoffs, I would expect they would. So
right. So Amory moves to 4-1. Let's move on to this week's shout-out, some cross-country. Had the South Pontotoc Invitational last Thursday, and winners of each respective division, they divided it up into 1A through 3A, 4A through 6A, boys and girls. Bounds Simmons of Tupelo Christian won the boys, 1 through 3A. Taylor Brown of Tupelo, I think he's just an 8th grader, won the 4 through 6A. And then in the girls' side, Sophie Santucci of Tupelo Christian with her 2nd straight win, actually 3 straight if you go back to last year's championships. So she won the girls 1 through 3A. And then Emma Kate White of Saltillo won the 4 through 6A. And that brings us to Athletes of the Week, Female Athlete of the Week. Hey, I just mentioned her, Emma Kate White, Saltillo Cross Country, winning that race at South Pontotoc in a time of 20 minutes, 9.5 seconds. Male Athlete of the Week, Caden Betts, Corinth, a two-way star for the Warriors last week in a 46-12 win over Holly Springs, had 7 carries, 131 yards, and 3 touchdowns, and he had a 68-yard pick six on defense.
Have a night, Mr. Betts.
Yes, sir. That's all the time we got for this episode of Prep Rally. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Again, you can find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. We're on Twitter at djournalpreps. Dylan is on Twitter, and he's got a new Twitter handle.
Yeah. Hey, we've been hinting at it for a couple weeks. My Twitter handle was too hard to say on the podcast, so we changed it. It's just Dylan Barnes DJ, as in Daily Journal.
Yeah.
So
Dillon Barnes DJ.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess my name's spelled not Dillon, so.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's not that way. So, yeah, Dillon Barnes DJ, and you can find me there. And,
yeah.
But.
All right.
Good deal.
I'm on there at Brad Locke. That's it. Hope y'all have a great rest of the week. We'll see you next time.